Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Get Healthy Now with Denise Thompson, certified transformational health and wellness coach, nurse, fitness trainer, educator, Blog Talk Radio host for over 5 years, and best-selling author. Today's topic is much bigger than what it says in the title. But as you know, I'm very limited to characters for the transcript, so I just had to put something down. So let's go into this. I'm going to give you an overview first before I start diving deeper into certain aspects. The last 6 months have been hard on many of us, or on very many people at all. They have either lost their job, have to or get to work from home, need to homeschool their children. And that's actually why I started reading a children's story every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Clive, to give the parents a break from the children and the children a break from their parents. So I just posted yesterday after I read that I finished the book that I just read, and I put down a list of about 10 plus books that I have, and I asked people to vote on what they would like next. So there's still a lot of voting left to do. Just go on my Facebook page under Denise Thompson, and you'll see the before and after picture of me, and then you know that this is the correct one. It's the same picture as you have here for the Blog Talk Radio host. And then you can, you know, friend me and you can vote. That'd be awesome. And then a lot of people are being bored. Why? Number one, their work has changed. Their life has changed. Their lifestyle has changed. They're more sedentary. They start gaining weight because they're grazing more, they're snacking, they're having lack of exercise since most of the gyms are closed or the pools are closed so you can't go swim. People get depressed. There is a lack of physical social life due to physical distancing. Well, of course we do have social media, telephone, email, snail mail, Skype, Zoom, and many more. That's perfectly fine, though those do not replace a real connection. It's great for a meeting. It's great for, you know, getting to know somebody real quick when you don't have time to drive an hour or two to meet in a coffee shop or something. But for a long-lasting relationship, it is not the most conducive way. So, functions that we do not get to attend. For example, birthday parties. As I told you, I couldn't go home to visit my mom for her 90th birthday in June because the traveling was not possible to go overseas. Weddings, they're very limited on how many people they are allowed to have in a party and how they have to do it. Funerals, most of them are done online, very impersonal. I just attended one of them where they had a celebration of life online, and there were just a few people in the church, and most of the others watched at home from, you know, Vimeo or Skype or Facebook Live or Zoom or whatever it was. But the emotions, the presence, the physical and emotional presence were not the same as when you were there with the loved ones who just lost a dear friend or a son or a daughter or a parent or someone they loved. So that, of course, causes a lot of mental stress. So those are actually the most important points that I want to touch on and hone in a little bit. So CNN, Shelby Lynn Erdman, said that the scientists at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill did 75 studies between January and June 2020 with 400,000 COVID patients. And they found out that obese people had a 46% higher risk to contract COVID-19 and were 48% at greater risk of dying from the virus. So that's not something that I'm discriminating against. This is a statistics from a reputable source. So my job, though, is to show you how we can prevent those things and how we can lessen some of those factors. But before I get into that, I want to give you some facts on the job situation. It says the U.S. jobs reported for April brings sobering, if not unexpected, news. The country has lost 20.6 million jobs since mid-March, resulting in an unemployment rate of 14.7%, a level not seen since the Great Depression in the 1930s, almost 100 years ago, 90 years ago. Unbelievable. It says the number of jobs more than doubles the number seen in the 2007 to 2009 Great Recession, when 8.7 million Americans lost their jobs. Before the pandemic, the United States marketed a 50-year unemployment low in February. It was only 3.5%, and now it's up to 14.7%. That's just about a 400% increase. So that's pretty sad. So that's just some statistics. And what I did is I Googled U.S. job losses due to COVID-19, and I checked for what was one of the most reputable sources to find some facts and statistics on it. Then the next one is work at home after COVID-19 and the forecast. And it was actually written with the global work from home. Kate Lister, president of Global Workplace Analytics, wrote, "We estimate that 56% of the U.S. workforce holds a job that is compatible, at least partially, with remote work. We know that currently only 3.6 million workforce works at home half-time or more. The Gallup data from 2016 shows that 43% of the workforce works at home at least some of the time. Our prediction is that the longer people are required to work at home, the greater adoption will be seen when the dust settles. We believe, based on historical trends, that those who were working remotely before the pandemic will increase their frequency after they are allowed to return to their offices. For those who were new to remote work until the pandemic, we believe there will be a significant upswing in their adoption. Our best estimate is that we will see 25 to 30% of the workforce working at home on a multiple days a week basis by the end of 2021. Here's why. Our best estimate is that 25 to 30% of the workforce will be working from home multiple days a week by the end of 2021. And again, that's by Kate Lister, who's the president of Global Workplace Analytics. There's so much more information, and I don't want to go into everything in detail, but you can Google it. It's under the GWA for Global Workplace Analytics, and then check for Kate Lister. Homeschooling. Oh, my goodness. So many people are having issues with that. Why? Most parents did not sign up to homeschool their children. Most parents love their children, and they want them to go to good schools where trained educators teach them the real value of mathematics, reading, science, biology, which goes under science, life science, and things like that, that are communication, that are vital in today's society. But I just watched about 6 or 7 different videos between teachers and parents and students, and the answers and the responses are so divided that it makes it very difficult to figure out what to do and what not to do. I have no idea where you are in regards to your children, if you have any, or your grandchildren, depending on whether you take care of them or help the parents out or whatnot, and how you, where you are, need to handle this situation. All I know is from my clients how difficult it is for them to work with their children online anywhere from 30 minutes to 6 hours a day. I mean, there is no consistency throughout this country. It's not even throughout a state. It's each little area, each county has its own rules and regulations, making this very, very difficult. So some parents said this morning that they were able to drive by the school. They had to have an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper written out with the name of children, the grades, and the names of the teachers. And then they went in line in front of the school, opened up the trunk, and through physical distancing, the people from the school put the curriculum for each child in a box in the trunk of the car, closed the car, and they could go home and look at the stuff. In many areas, I've seen that the homework, the learning, was only a half an hour a day. And one student did in 2 weeks the entire year's curriculum. Excuse me? Okay, if they can do it in 2 weeks at home by not doing more than 2 or 3 hours a day, why does it take the school a whole year to teach them the same thing? It doesn't make sense. There are some areas that are very shady and very gray. And I wish, and I'm sure some of you would too, that there would be more of a unified way of deciding on what's being done and not a gazillion different ways of helping or trying to help the students. Some of them, some schools even say, we have no clue yet what we're going to do. And school's supposed to start in 2 days in those areas. And again, I'm not going to be specific on which area said what, because I don't want anybody to get hooked on somebody else's rules and regulations, because each county, each state has its own ways of handling things. So, oh my, it's just really, really tough. one of the children said, boring. Number one, he did not really get to interact with the students, with his classmates, except during class time. And of course, then the teacher was there to teach him the lesson. So they didn't really have time to socialize. And after the lesson was done, the Zoom meeting ended. So they couldn't do that. It's hard on everybody. So what happens to adults and children when they are actually limited, very limited in what they can do or cannot do? And why do they resort to all that grazing, snacking, watching TV? I mean, one of the kids, who was about 10, he said, well, it's so much more distraction at home because we have radio, we have TV, we have video games, we have movies, we have books to read that are more fun, we have this or that. And he said, and when I'm bored, I just go to the kitchen and grab a snack. Well, excuse me, is that healthy for our mental and physical well-being? Didn't I just read that 46% of the people who are obese? Let's define what obese is. Let's define what a healthy weight is, what an overweight is, and what an obese and morbidly obese is. So anything from about 18 to 21% is ultimately healthy. And then to 24.9% is healthy. Anything from 24.9 to 30% is overweight. Anything from 31 to about 35% is obese. And anything above 35%, and I'm talking about the BMI, the body mass index, is morbidly obese. And that's how those numbers came about. So it's everybody with a obese is from a 30% up. So anybody whose body fat is above 30% is in the 46 percentile category of contracting the virus. Why? Because they carry too much weight. They get out of breath easier. They don't like to move that much because it's uncomfortable. They don't look good. They don't feel good. And it's not a put down. It's just facts. Okay? And so knowing all those statistics pushes me, urges me, encourages me to talk more about how I can help you to become a better version of yourself, healthier in mindset, in body, and maybe even in finances. Because when we don't have all these unhealthy snacks around in the house and we do exercise, then we can definitely have a better lifestyle. And it's not diets, please. Diets don't work. They're temporary. Every time when I did a diet, and I can talk from personal experience in that one, when I did a diet, doesn't matter which one, because I tried many of them. When I was down to the weight I wanted to, I go, yay, I'm there. And I started celebrating. And kaboom, within a year or two, I had more than doubled the gain of the weight I had lost. And I go, what in the world? I need to go on another diet. What happened? It was the yo-yo effect. Up and down and up and down and up and down. And your body gets used to it and it doesn't respond to it anymore. Your kidneys start suffering. Your heart starts suffering. Your blood pressure is suffering. Your cholesterol is suffering. You become pre-diabetic, then diabetic. And all because you do not know how to manage your emotions or your eating habits. That's why it's a lifestyle. And that's why I'm going to go into that more. So, yeah, I just give you that statistics. All right. So my question for you is, knowing or assuming that you know what's going to happen in the next year, what are your goals? Your health goals, your work goals, your income goals, all those things. What are they for the next year, for the next 5 years, for the next 10 years? Well, if we're talking about the health goals, you could go to a place that does an in-body scan. And it's very simple. All you do is step on a little machine and hold both handles, the right and the left, and it's going to scan your body from the inside out, and it's going to give you a readout on what your muscle mass is, what your bone mass is, what your fat is, what your prediction is for health. It's only about $15 or so. It's really worth it. And I would go, if you are a person who's easily influenced by commercials, by food commercials and things like that, go monthly. Make it a point. Put it in your calendar. Every month first, if it's not a Sunday or so and the store is closed, go in there, do an in-body scan, and see if you improved or if you got worse. So help yourself with that. That is a good one. You want to set a healthy precedent for your loved ones, especially your children. I just heard from a friend of mine who actually joined our program to get healthy, that her son was in his early 20s, is 500 pounds right now. No, he's not a bad child. He's a wonderful son. However, he's eating his emotions, having all these issues, not having any friends, or all his friends can eat the stuff and they are so active, running around and doing things still, which he cannot do anymore. So whenever he eats something they eat, he just puts on a few more pounds. So what is the solution for him? His mom and he talked about it, and they decided that they did not want to go on a diet, that they wanted to do a lifestyle change, where they changed their habits, one habit at a time. First, without exercise, just with healthy eating habits, and then when the time is right, start incorporating some physical activities, even if it's just like first, you know, walking 100 yards, then walking 200 yards, then walking 300 and increasing weekly a little bit, including a step of a set of stairs or something, slowly but surely. And they have a certified transformational health and wellness coach, just such as I am. And we're all working together and helping these people out. And that's what I'm saying. That might behoove you better than anything else. Do something that lasts for the rest of your life. Learn with what you can do and what you can't do. And I actually included a video from Dr. Deepak Chopra that he and Oprah Winfrey are doing some activities together. And it's a little exercise thing. He says, you know, schedule your exercises in your daily schedule. Even if it's just like 5 minutes of standing and just walking in place. If you want to do that every 2 hours, so you get a few steps in, you should get a minimum of 2,000 steps in. The goal is to get get to the point where you have 10,000 steps a day. But that's not happening from one day to the next. That is something that you work towards. You start creating a habit by starting with 100 steps when you were a couch potato or something, or you had some issues, medical issues, that you couldn't do it. Start slowly in improving. Then do the 100 steps for a week, and then when it gets easier, go up to 150 or 200 steps. Don't just go from 100 to 1,000. That's not responsible. That's pushing over the limits. You know, you need to do something that you can see you can achieve it. So what kind of exercises can you do to actually be proactive and to prevent, that I meant, morbid obesity, that you are not one of those casualties who dies because of that and contracts the COVID-19. So let's just take action. Let's take charge of our health and do something. So the first thing I'm going to offer you is a health goal assessment, and that's going to include body, mind, and finances and stress and concerns and stuff. If you want something inexpensive to read, I'm actually a best-selling author of a little stress reduction book. It's on Amazon.com. The easiest way to find it is to just put my name in the subject line, Denise Thompson, and it's you see it on the Blog Talk Radio, how to spell it, and it pops right up. It's only $2.99 on Kindle, and it's $6.99 if you want a little paperback copy. But it gives you some ideas of things you can do that are not expensive. I geared this book towards people who are frugal with their money because of needs or necessities, or because that's just who they are. So you can still get a lot of information from there. Then, as I said, I included the video. It's a short video from Dr. Deepak Chopra. And, of course, I always refer back to the Stop Challenge Choose, where before you do something, ask yourself, stop right there before you do it, and take a deep breath, a slow breath, to help bring your emotions under control. Then challenge yourself by thinking about why you're feeling or acting the way you are, and ask, is this really true? And then choose the behavior that supports what you really want. And quite often, when you think you're hungry and you want to go to the kitchen and grab like some chips or something like that, do the Stop Challenge Choose, and you probably 95% of the time find out, no, you're thirsty, and a glass of water would actually take care of this. So that's the thing. Plus, as I said, I'm going to give you a 30-minute free health goal assessment. All you need to do is write to me at dythomson@gmail.com and put in the subject line BTR 827-2020 or BTR 827 free gift or something like that, so I know what to look for and I get to fish out your email from the spam folder. Or you can voice me. I do not answer the phone unless I have a scheduled call, at 562-335-4956. Again, that's for voicemail and text only, 562-335-4956. And I know this was quick, and I just gave you an overview, but I do really hope that it helped you to kind of think about what serves you best and how you want to progress to make sure you're not one of those casualties. I would love to hear from you. Please send me some feedback. Let me know what you think. Let me know what you decided. And if you choose me to help you and guide you towards a better you, please feel free to do so. I'd be honored to journey with you. So that's it for today. I wish you all a most wonderful week, and I will talk to you again next week. Take care.